3. We'll begin reading in verse 6. The Lord said also unto me in the days of Josiah the king, hast thou seen that which backsliding Israel hath done? She has gone up upon every high mountain and under every green tree, and there hath played the harlot. I said, after she had done all these things, turn thou unto me. But she returned not, and her treacherous sister Judah saw it. And I saw when, for all the causes whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, I had put her away and given her a bill of divorcement, yet her treacherous sister Judah feared not, but went and played the harlot also. And it came to pass through the lightness of her whoredom that she defiled the land and committed adultery with stones and with stocks. And yet, for all this, her treachery sister Judah hath not turned unto me with her whole heart, but fiendly said, saith the Lord. And the Lord said unto me, the backsliding Israel hath justified herself more than treacherous Judah. Go and proclaim these words towards the north, and say, return, thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord, and I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you, for I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever. Only acknowledge thy iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God, and hast scattered thy ways to the strangers under the green tree, and ye have not obeyed my voice, saith the Lord. Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you, and I will take you one of a city and two of a family, and will bring you to Zion. And I will give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. And it shall come to pass, when ye be multiplied and increased in the land in those days, saith the Lord, they shall say no more, the ark of the covenant of the Lord, neither shall it come to mind, neither shall they remember it, neither shall they visit it, neither shall that be done any more. And that time they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord, and all the nations shall gather unto it, to the name of the Lord, to Jerusalem. Neither shall they walk any more after the imagination of their evil heart. In those days the house of Judah shall walk with the house of Israel, and they shall come together out of the land of the north to the land that I have given for an inheritance unto their fathers, unto your fathers, I'm sorry. But I said, how shall I put thee among the children and give thee a pleasant land and a goodly heritage of the host of nations? And I said, thou shalt call me my father and shalt not turn away from me. Surely as a wife treacherously departeth from her husband, so have ye dealt treacherously with me, O house of Israel, saith the Lord. A voice was heard upon the high places, weeping and supplications of the children of Israel, for they have perverted their way, and they have forgotten the Lord their God. Return, you backsliding children, and I will heal your backsliding. Behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God. Truly in vain is salvation hoped for from the hills and from the multitudes of mountains. Truly the Lord our God is the salvation of Israel. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for allowing us to be together tonight, to be able to sing the songs that we have sung. And certainly, Lord, we rejoice in the great testimony of our God. It was a blessing, Lord, this morning to hear from our missionary, to be able to hear what you're doing in the hearts of people in Ireland. And Lord, we're just thankful that time and time again, we can testify the great grace of God to bring salvation to all men and all women, boys and girls. And I'm thankful tonight, Lord, that we can contemplate this admonition and warning that Jeremiah gives to Israel of their backsliding state. And I pray, Lord, that we'd be mindful of what backsliding is and how to get out of it and get right with it and be able to repent, Lord. And so I pray for the anointing of the preaching of the Word of God. Holy Spirit, will you work your will and way in each of our lives tonight? I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 6 and 7 is our text verse. The Lord said unto me in the days of Josiah the king, Hast thou seen that which backsliding Israel hath done? She has gone up from upon every high mountain and every green tree, and hath played the harlot. And I said, after she had done all these things, turn thou unto me. But she returned not, and her treacherous sister Judah saw it. Backsliding and repentance really is not a real popular subject to preach on. And oftentimes we can look at it and say, well, wait a minute, we're the Sunday night crowd, and we're always faithful, and we're here. Why would you preach a message like that? Because you're going to see in a few moments that when you're walking with God and you're blessed of God, it is very easy for you to turn your back on God. Israel would time and time again see the blessings of God, and God would lead them and direct them and move in their life, and they would backslide away from Him. You can really summarize the history of Israel with 3 points: backsliding, bondage, and blessings. God would bring His blessings on them. They would backslide because of their backslidden state. They would fall into bondage, and then they would repent in that state of being backslidden away from our God, and God would begin to bless them once again. So backsliding is not really an enjoyable subject, but it is a subject that needs to be discussed and evaluated, because the Bible has so much to say about backsliding. Literally 12 times in the Bible the word backsliding is used, 9 times in the book of Jeremiah, and 3 times in the book of Hosea. However, backsliding, we know it means to be in a position of turning away or turning back. It literally carries with it the idea of falling into apostasy that moves us away from the true and living God. Hosea 11 and verse 7 says, my people are bent to backslide from me. Now, the word bent means to hang on to or cling to, and he say literally, he identifies their backslidden state as something that they embraced and held on to. Hosea chapter 4:16 says, Israel slideth back as a backsliding heifer. In other words, he deals with this thing of them not thinking about the consequences of their backsliding. When you read through this chapter and you see the warnings that Jeremiah is giving to Judah and to Israel, there is no identification of them saying, well, wait a minute, if we do this, this is what the outcome's going to be. And so they don't stop to think about the consequences of the outcome or the product of backsliding. So even though the word backsliding or backsliding is only used 12 times in the Bible, we find that over and over again, there's the principle about backsliding and repenting or turning around and getting right with God mentioned all the way through the scriptures from Genesis through to the book of Revelation. So backsliding and repentance. So let's think about this tonight, how we can identify some problems and difficulties and what needs to be done. First of all, we have to answer the question, where does backsliding begin? Where does backsliding begin? And if Israel has fallen backwards, where did that start at? And what caused them to fall away from their God? I just thought of this, that backsliding begins at the point of blessings. And, turning away and moving away from is something that you've enjoyed. So it stands to reason that when you talk about backsliding, it begins at the point of blessings. If you're in the middle of God moving and God working in your life, and all of a sudden now you move away from those blessings. The children sang about Noah tonight. Noah is one of the ones I mentioned in my message here. Noah was blessed of God through the flood. Certainly he believed God, he trusted God, he found grace in the eyes of God. He built an ark to the saving of his household. Although all of society rebelled and rejected against him, at least he had faith enough and experienced grace enough to be able to build an ark to the saving of his household. The sad thing is, at the peak of the blessing in his life, after the flood and after he establishes a home, and literally it says in Genesis 9 that he established a vineyard after the flood, Noah got drunk. And in chapter 9 and verse 21 and verse 20 and verse 21, it says that he planted a vineyard and he got drunk. Now, the interesting thing is that from that point on, you don't read anything else about the life of Noah. From that point on, Noah's not mentioned again. From that point on, we find that because of his drunken state, his son, Ham, comes in and sees his nakedness. And the curse falls on Ham because of what he saw, his father, the condition of his father. I'm telling you, when here is a peak at the pinnacle of blessings. Can you imagine being on the ark? Could you imagine seeing the wrath of God poured out on the world, but yet the security and safety that God provided for his family? And then after all that is done, at the peak of blessing, he gets drunk. Now today, in the world today, and amongst many Christians, there is a movement that literally identifies and says that it's okay to have a social drink and these types of things. But I'm going to tell you one thing right now. If that's okay, why is it Noah mentioned after he got drunk? And what was the effects on his family after he got drunk? I'm telling you right now, there is a move of God that God can move and bless and bring us to a place, a pinnacle, if you will, of blessings that we can literally fall into a place of false security to think we're not going to be able to fall away from God and move away from God and lose the blessings of God. And we end up backing up, moving away, falling into sin, and we lose the blessings of God. So it starts at the point of blessing. Notice also, God delivers the children of Israel out of Egypt. And as he delivers them out of Egypt, now I'm always intrigued by the fact of all the miracles that he performed, all the judgments on Egypt, the parting of the Red Sea and everything else, and the children of Israel get out into the wilderness. And in Numbers chapter 11, verse 4, it says, "And the mixed multitude was among them, fell a-lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish, which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic." Well, that really makes me hungry. But anyway, he says, "But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all besides this manna before our eyes." And the manna was as a colander seed, and the color thereof was the color of bdellium. And here they are. They're in the wilderness. God is providing for them. God is blessing them. And what do they want to do? At the point of God's blessing and deliverance in their life, they say, "I want to go back to Egypt." It's alarming to me when someone gets saved, they start growing in the Lord, and you can see the evidence of God blessing their life. Then all of a sudden they get this mindset, "Well, I think my life was better in what I used to do. I think my life is better to go back what I used to experience." And right at the peak of God's blessings in our life, we desire to go back into the world again. Backsliding starts at the point of God's blessing. In our chapter here, in our text verse, in verse 6, "The Lord said also unto me in the days of Josiah the king," and here it is, "in the days of Josiah the king," was Josiah was bringing revival in Israel. Josiah, according to 2 Kings chapter 23 and 24, literally removed the sorcerers and removed the false worship and removed the false sacrifices. He literally reestablished this matter of worshiping God and observing the Passover at the peak of his involvement in bringing a spiritual revival in Israel is the point where they backslid. It is amazing how we can be in a position of blessing of God and despise the blessings of God to where we think we can find something better away from him. So God delivers out of Egypt, and they get in the place where God is blessing them, and they want to go back. God brings them into Canaan. And as he brings them into the promised land under the leadership of Joshua, Achan takes of the cursed thing in Joshua chapter 6 and verse 18. Very clearly, God says you're not to take of anything that is in Jericho. It was an example of the first fruits, offering. Everything that was in Jericho was God's. And it was a cursed thing to the people of God. And they were not to take anything that was in Jericho. But here he is. God has brought them out of Egypt, brought them out of bondage, has led them for 40 years through the wilderness, miraculously fed them day by day, and now he brings them into the promised land as he declared that he would do, and gives them the victory as they come into this city that is walled and a land that is full of giants, and God gives them the city, and what happens? They take up the accursed thing. Rather than trusting that what God has promised to give is sufficient,
and satisfying enough, they take that which is a curse. And God's judgment fell on all of Israel because of Achan's backsliding, because of Achan's unwillingness to obey what God has said. You know, I thought of Demas. You know, Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10 that Demas has forsaken me, having loved the things in this present world. You understand that at that time, it was a time of success and blessing. God was blessing the Apostle Paul, and there were souls being saved. There were churches being planted. There was a great move of God, and in the peak of all this blessing of God and moving, Demas decides, I'm going to go back into the world. Backsliding always begins when there is a great blessing of God, and the people despise the blessing of God and are not satisfied with the blessing of God. And so we go and look for something else. And when we look for something else, it draws us away from our God. And so backsliding begins at the point of blessing. It is brought about, first of all, by adultery, which is unfaithfulness. In our text verse, in verse 6, he says, hast thou seen that which backsliding Israel hath done? She has gone up upon every high mountain and under every green tree, and there hath played the harlot. What was Israel doing? They were pursuing other gods and other means of worship other than the God of heaven, who had blessed them and put them in the promised land and had rewarded them and given them a land that flows with milk and honey. Unfaithfulness. It is a dangerous thing that when everything seems to be going good and the blessings of God are flowing, it is a dangerous position to be in, because it is very easy to think, okay, I've got it made. I don't need to be faithful anymore. It is easy to come to a place where we say, well, you know, things are going to continue as they always have continued, so I don't have to worry about my walk with God. I don't have to worry about being surrendered to the Lord. There's other things that I need that are important in my life when we become unfaithful to our God. Adultery is a spouse being unfaithful to their spouse. And so Israel literally had come to a place where they're being unfaithful to their God. So it's brought about through unfaithfulness. Notice in our chapter where we read there in verse 8, it comes about because of the fact there's no fear of God. In verse 8 it says, and I saw when for all the causes whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, I had put her away and given her a bill of divorcement, yet her treacherous sister Judah feared not, but went and played the harlot also. No fear of God. You know, it's hard to keep our walk with God if we don't fear the Lord. In the God's Mid meeting we had the other day, Jeremiah chapter 10, I've just been into Jeremiah recently, and the Lord's been just blessing my heart with some thoughts out of here. But in Jeremiah chapter 10, in verse 6, it says, for as much as there is none like unto thee, O Lord, thou art great, and thy name is great in might. In verse 7, he says, who would not fear thee, O King of nations? It's an alarming thing to be at a place where we make decisions in life and we live our life with no fear or reverence of God. God is just someone that we go to when we want something or need something. God is just an individual that kind of fits into our religious experience. But wait a minute, he is a great God, he is above all gods, and in light of the fact that he is that, then who would not fear God? Well, here it is, Judah didn't fear him. They were under the blessings, they were under the move of God, but they lost their fear of God. Notice in verse 11, how does backsliding be brought about? It is brought about by self-justification. In verse 11, says, and the Lord said unto me, the backsliding Israel hath justified herself more than treacherous Judah. Self-justification. You know, that's getting to a place where we can humanly reason and answer for what we're doing, even though it violates the Word of God. Self-justification. And it's been amazing to me over the years that people have made decisions that violate the Word of God, and when you confront them about it, they say, well, I prayed about this, and this is what I believe God wants me to do. When you make a decision based on your self-justification, you are a backslidden. Every decision we make must be in line with what God says, and God's Holy Spirit never directs us to do one thing that violates any principle that's in the Word of God. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 3, it says, for I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. And so this matter of self-justification. In Romans 5, 1, it says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. If there is any justification whatsoever that we can experience in life, it has got to be justification that comes from God and God alone and not through ourselves. I'm going to tell you one thing right now. Your flesh can talk you into doing anything. The world will talk you into anything. You go to work and you're working and you got marital problems, and right away you tell somebody on the job who's not a Christian the marital problems you have, and right away they tell you, oh, I was you, I wouldn't live with that woman. Well, if I was you, I wouldn't live with that man. You know, you have your life. You need to do what you, yeah, well, what is that? What's up with that? They're trying to tell me what to do. And you start self-justifying your actions, and you violate a principle in the Word of God, that is a major red flag that is waving high. You are backsliding. You are walking away from God because you are abandoning a principle that God has clearly established. And so this self-justification, times of trials can cause us to fall into a state of being backslidden. You know, Peter, listen, he had no intention whatsoever to deny his Savior. Matter of fact, he boldly proclaimed before Jesus that all men will die, may betray you, but I'll die for you. But when the trial came, he denied the Lord. Be careful you don't get puffed up in pride where you say, well, I'll never do this, that, or the other. Because a trial may be so devastating upon you that it will cause you to backslide and move away from God. All of a sudden, some tragedy hits you, and all of a sudden, now you don't want to be faithful to church anymore. All of a sudden, you don't want to read your Bible anymore. All of a sudden, you can justify that in yourself because you say, well, people just don't understand how I'm hurting. And when I go to church, I mean, somebody comes up to talk to me, and they just don't understand my heart. And you start justifying your backslidden state. Because of a trial that you went through. Israel turned his back on their God when the God was blessing them and moving in their life. So what does backsliding do? What does it do to us if we backslide? First of all, in our chapter in verse 12, it leads you away from God. That's the primary problem with backsliding. In verse 12, it says, go and proclaim these words towards the north and say, return, thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord, and I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you, for I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever. And so the problem with backsliding is that it always leads you away from God. It may cause you, listen, it may cause you to be unfaithful in reading, maybe unfaithful in church, maybe unfaithful in serving God. But the ultimate problem is that it is leading you farther and farther away from God. When you stop reading your Bible, when you stop praying, when you stop living out the disciplines that are in the Word of God, it is because of the fact that you have moved and progressed farther and farther away. In verse 14 it says, turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you, and I will take you one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion. God is pleading with them. He wants them to know that he is a blessing for them and that their backsliding state has moved them away from the presence of their God. The other thing it does, it develops in you an attitude of indifference. Notice in verse 13 of our chapter, only acknowledge thine iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God, and has scattered thy ways to the strangers under every green tree, and ye have not obeyed my voice, saith the Lord. you develop an indifference. You don't care about God. You don't care about your life. You're indifferent about sin. You're indifferent about your actions. You're not only indifferent towards people. Isaiah tells us that they got to a place where they're indifferent towards people, but the primary problem is you develop an indifference towards God. Your sin no longer convicts you. Your sin no longer moves you. It never brings you to a state of mourning. You know, it's a dangerous place to be in your Christian life where it really doesn't matter whether you hear the preaching. It really doesn't matter whether you pray. It really doesn't matter whether you're trying to win people to Christ or not. It doesn't really matter because you're just living a life of indifference. You're backslidden. If you don't care, you don't care because you're away from God and you're away from people. And you've developed a spirit of indifference. So it develops an attitude of indifference. It also develops an attitude of resentment towards the righteous. And Galatians 6:1, it says, "Brethren, if a man's overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." You know, it's amazing to me when somebody gets away from God, they fall backwards, and you can see the evidence of that backsliding as God is outlining the evidence of backsliding in Israel. And you go and confront them about that, and you talk to them about that. Boy, how they get angry over that. Well, who do you think you are? Why, you have no right to judge me. Well, I do have a right to come to you as a brother in Christ and tell you I'm concerned about your condition. I do have a right as a brother in Christ to come to you and say I'm concerned that you've walked away from the Lord and you need to be restored in fellowship and restored back to God again. But when you're backslidden, you don't want to hear nothing like that. You don't want to hear anything from God. You certainly don't want to hear anything from the people of God. And so you develop this spirit of resentment towards those that really do care about your soul. The fear of the Lord, it says in Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. You go to someone, you say, well, wait a minute. You know, what you're doing, the decisions you're making is wrong. You're going to get in trouble with that thing. And they get resentful and they get angry towards you. And so what is that? That's evidence of being backslidden. Because that's the product of being away from God. It develops an attitude of indifference and also resentment. It also develops an anger over the lost blessings of God. In other words, you come to a place where now because you're away from God, as Israel was, they're losing the blessings of God. God has said, you need to repent and get right so that I can turn my anger to blessings. When God's chastisement and God's anger is exercised towards us, we get more and more angry over God's not blessing me. Well, if he's not blessing you, what's wrong? Because God has promised that he would bless us. In Matthew chapter 6, in verse 24, Jesus said, "No man can serve two masters, for either he'll hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." And so backsliding puts us in a position of total opposition to God's blessings. And then what happens because we lose the blessings, we start developing a spirit of anger and resentment over that. And when that happens, what needs to be done? You need to repent and you need to get right with God. Israel needed to get right with their God. He is pleading with them through the prophet, you need to turn back to me. You need to turn back to me. So where does backsliding begin? It starts at the blessings of God. What does it do? It moves us away from God and develops an attitude in us that God cannot bless, but how should it be dealt with? First of all, and I just lined these up. We'll look at each of these verses. I lined them up going through the Bible so you're not flipping back and forth. But what do you have to do with backsliding? First of all, it needs to be a turning from evil. How do you deal with it? Turning from evil. Jeremiah chapter 26. Look in Jeremiah 26 in verse 13. It is a decision that you have to make that I am going to turn away from this anger, this resentment. I am going to turn away from this unfaithfulness. I am going to turn my life back to my God who loves me and cares for me, because I have to get out of this backslidden state. in Jeremiah chapter 26 in verse 13, says, "Therefore now amend your ways and your doings and obey the voice of the Lord your God, and the Lord will repent of the evil that he has pronounced against you." So Israel had fallen away from their God. They had rejected him. They developed an attitude towards those that were righteous and desiring to live for God. And God's response to them is, listen, you need to change your way. You need to turn from the evil. You need to turn back to your God. And you need to obey what he has said. And God's anger will be turned to blessings. And so what we should do? We should turn from the evil. Look over in Ezekiel chapter 14. You can just keep turning in the scriptures and get to Ezekiel. And when you get to Ezekiel chapter 14, Ezekiel chapter 14, in verse 6, it is, what should we do in dealing with backsliding? We need to turn from evil, but we need to turn from idols. Now listen, when you backslide, there is someone or something that you are putting in place of God, and that becomes an idol. And Ezekiel chapter 14, verse 6 says, "Therefore, say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, repent and turn yourselves from your idols and turn away your faces from your abominations." You know, somebody will start reading somebody's book that they wrote, and it'll have false doctrine in there. And you'll start going after that doctrine. You're worshiping a false god when you go down the road of reading and studying and embracing false doctrine. What do you have to do in your repentance? Turn away from the idols. Oh, well, you get that big promotion or you get that job, and I mean that job, you're making all kinds of money, but it's consuming all your time. You have no time for your family. You have no time for God. You have no time for devotions. You have no time to serve, or you have no time to win someone to Christ. But, man, your whole life is about that job and the money that you're making. That became your God.
That's right.
That became your God. And so, next thing you know, you've moved away from your Lord, you've backed away from him, you've backed away from those that love God and want to walk and serve God. So how do you deal with this spirit of backsliddenness? You need to just turn from the evil, and you need to turn away from the idols and turn back to the living God. Ezekiel chapter 18 in verse 30, we need to turn away from sin. And Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 30, "Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, saith the Lord God. Repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin." And so coming to a place, I love verse 31, he says, "Cast away from you all your transgressions whereby ye have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will ye die, O house of Israel?" Dealing with backslidden state is literally, if you're away from God, you are falling into sin. "For he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." And we have to stop saying this stuff, people just make mistakes. Now, I understand people make mistakes. There's stupid things that we do. But we're excusing sin as just making a mistake. Sin that comes in our life is deliberate and willful. And we turn away from God and we back away from God, and we're not committed as we used to be, and we're not surrendered as we used to be, and there is a sin that has consumed our thought process and our life, and we need to repent of that sin. Amen. If we confess our sins, Amen. It didn't say if we confess our mistakes. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so keeping those short accounts with God, coming in a spirit of repentance before God, because I don't want to be backslidden away from God. So it's a turning from sin. Notice in Matthew chapter 4, it's by turning immediately. In other words, I'll get right next week. Or don't say, maybe the church will go ahead and have a revival meeting. I'll get right in the revival meeting. No. If you won't get right where you are, you're not going to get right in a revival meeting. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 17, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Literally what he is saying is there needs to be repentance that is immediate. The kingdom of heaven, literally it means, is ready to spring upon you at any moment. And so we need to repent immediately. Don't put it off. If God's Spirit convicts you about some sin in your heart and in your life that's causing you to become indifferent and disconnected and moved away from your God, then repent of it right away. One thing I love about the men's prayer advance is that the atmosphere is conducive to getting right with God. Because when the preaching is going on, it's always been this way ever since I started going to these things years ago. When the preaching is going on, if God convicts you about something, then get it right with God right then. You don't have to worry, wait until just we start singing "Just As I Am" without one plea. Bless God, if God's convicting you, then you ought to get your on your face before God at that very moment and get it confessed and get right. And repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Why? Because I don't want to entertain sin for a moment, because it'll cause me to fall away from my God and I'll end up being in a backslidden state. And then I get in such a funk with this backslidden attitude that I don't care about people and I don't care about God and I don't care about my life. I don't care about anything but satisfying the fleshly desires that are in me. So I need to immediately repent. Notice in Acts 26. Acts 26 and verse 20. Not only turning from evil and from idols and from sin and turning immediately, but it's turning to good works. In other words, there is something else to do. And Acts chapter 26 and verse 20 says, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do good works meet for repentance. In other words, if you're backslidden, then you get right with God as quickly as you possibly can. And right away, immediately, as evidence of that repentance, you no longer do the things that drew you away from God, but you do things that draw you closer to God. You do things that glorify God rather than rob him of his glory. So it's a turning to good works. And then in Revelation chapter 2, in verse 4 and 5, it is a turning back to our first love and works that God had put on our hearts and our relationship with him. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 4, it says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. We know these are letters written to the churches. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. So when we deal with this matter of being backslidden and repentance, it is a turning back to our first love. It's amazing that people get saved. They're all excited. We're all enthusiastic. Every one of us here can testify to the fact. Man, when I got saved, it was so exciting. Man, my life was new. I mean, I loved God. It was a great thing while God was doing it. I couldn't wait to do something for the Lord. I couldn't wait to tell people how they needed to be saved. What happened? Why isn't there that enthusiasm anymore? Generally what happens, somebody gets saved, they get all excited for God, and those of us that are backslidden away from the Lord want to tell them, you need to calm down. You need to take it easy. For 35 years, that's all I've heard. You need to calm down. You need to take it easy. Well, I'll tell you one thing right now. I ain't calming down, and I'm not going to take it easy. I've had people tell me, you get up there preaching sometime, I'm worried. Your face gets turned red. I'm afraid you're going to have a heart attack. That's okay. Amen. If God wants to take me to heaven, that'll be a great way to go to heaven while I'm preaching. Amen. Turn back to your first love. Man, I'll tell you, when God saved me, the love of Christ filled my heart. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. And I love him with all my heart. And God impressed on my heart at that very moment the things that he desired for me to do for his glory. And I'll tell you one thing right now. I've been driving myself and living for God and desiring to be with the Lord and live out the works that he desired and impressed on my heart. When I start to feel I don't want to do it anymore. And there are times when your preacher doesn't feel like preaching anymore. When I feel like I don't feel like I want to go out soul winning again, and I don't feel like doing all the work of the ministry. You know what that is? That's a flag that says you're backslid. Because there's no greater life and there's no greater work than you can do than to serve the one that you love with all your heart. And at that very moment, I need to repent quickly before it draws me away from the things that God wants me to accomplish in my life. So repent, backsliding requires of us to turn to good works and to turn back to the one that we love, the first love and the works that he has given us. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 19 tells us that we need to be, the backsliding needs to be dealt with by turning quickly. You know, Jesus in Matthew 4 said turn immediately. In chapter 3 of Revelation, he's saying turn quickly. In chapter 3 and verse 9, behold, oh, wait a minute, that's not where I'm at. Chapter 3 and verse 19 says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. And so the coming to a place that when we know that God loves us and God cares for us and we've settled for less than God's best, we've settled for a removal of his presence and his power and his majesty in our lives, when it comes to that, then I need to be quickly, I need to be zealous to repent and get back with him before my backslidden state ruins my life. Israel had a problem. They were falling under the chastening hand of God because they were backslidden and they refused to repent. Christian, let me encourage you with this tonight. When you feel yourself slipping away from God, you need to repent immediately. You feel, well, you know, I'm just not too excited about going to church. Maybe we'll stay home. Watch out. Watch out, because that's a flag that you're starting to backslide. I used to do those things and I used to be involved, but I just don't feel necessary for me to do. Watch out, it's backsliding. God is always moving us and growing us and maturing us in our ability to live for him and to serve him, and the devil's always fighting to grab what it is God wants to do in our life and snatch it right out of us. And so whenever I feel a cooling off, I feel that there's a backing off, I feel like there's starting to become a disconnect, that instills fear in my heart. Because I say, Lord, I don't want to be backslidden. I don't want to be away from you. I want to be able to enjoy the blessings of God. And I start dealing with those feelings that are contrary to what God wants me to feel. And I start dealing with those desires that I know that are contrary to what the Word of God says ought to be in me. In the Christian life, I mean in the Christian heart, there ought to be a love, a drive, a dedication, a commitment, a surrender, a transformation that takes place day by day in our life because of getting closer to God. You get the closer you get to God, the more you ought to be coming like Christ. For whom the Lord did foreknow, he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. If I'm not conforming to the image of Christ, then I'm backslidden. Because God wants me to move ahead. God doesn't want us to move backwards. Oftentimes I've heard people over the years say, well, you know, we just need to just back off. You know what I've watched people say that I need to back off? It's not just a short while. It's only a short while. And they're gone. They're gone. Because if the devil can get you to back off, then he has you removed from the blessings of God. And at the place where he's wanting you to back off, God has been blessing and moving in your life. Now, folks, none of us are immune to backsliding. none of us are so super spiritual that we never feel like turning our back on God. The difference is when you feel that way, are you going to do something about it? Are you going to nip it in the bud? Are you get it under the blood? Are you going to get it to a place of surrender and identifying with the God who saved you because you love him because he first loved you? And knowing that, wait a minute, God has something better and greater than what this world has to offer. I'm going to tell you right now, there is nothing outside of that door that the world has for you that is better than what God has for you right here in this place. And we need to love the Lord our God with all of our heart and not allow anything to come into our heart, our life, that causes us to move away from the Lord. You know, I've watched this over years. I've had people say, well, I want a husband or I want a wife that really loves God. And then they marry somebody that's on fire for God, and then all of a sudden they become resentful and they stop living for God. I've watched that. I've seen people say, oh, I just really want the Lord to bless us with children. God gives them children, and all of a sudden, well, we can't come to church because we, you know, the kids. Is there something wrong with that? Am I just weird because I think that way? The things that we pray for God to bless us with, he blesses us with it, and then we use that as an excuse not to walk with God. It's ridiculous, folks. It really is. Just backsliding is moving, whatever it is that's causing us to move away from God needs to be repented of immediately so that we can keep our walk and our life fresh. The mercies of God renewed every day, amen? So if they're renewed every day, why don't we just have a renewed spirit about us every day and walking in fellowship with our Savior? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for just being able to take some time tonight and consider this topic of backsliding. It's dangerous, oh God, it is dangerous. It is so subtle how Satan brings these little things into our life that disconnects us with our God, and the next thing you know, our life is ruined. Help us to be sensitive to the prodding of the Spirit of God, conviction of God, that when these things come into our heart, come on our minds, Lord, that we would quickly rebuke them and abandon them and run to our Savior. Help us to always have a spirit of repentance towards you. Give us victory, God, day by day. I pray, Lord, there might be somebody here tonight that's not saved. God, will you touch them? Will you draw them to Christ? Will you bring them to a place of believing to the saving of their soul, Lord, that they might be able to experience the blessings of God rather than the wrath and the chastisement of God. So bless in this invitation, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Let's